Good to see everybody out. I found an application that involved church parking lot. It took me almost a good week for me to decide I could use the a church parking lot as part of an application, and not all of us maybe turn and look out the window. There's a story of a church kind of having some parking lot problems, and then right next to this church was a store that was always closed on Sundays. And so they went and asked the owner if they could use his parking lot on Sundays, and he said that would be just fine with him, at least for 51 Sundays out of the year. But for 1 week of the year, it was going to be chained off. And the church was fairly happy with that arrangement, but you know how curiosity works. It got to the better of them. They wanted to know why it had to be chained off one Sunday. And the owner of that store explained to them that he just wanted them to make sure they remembered that it wasn't their parking lot. Well, today we're going to be talking a little bit about sacrifices. In the Old Testament, the sacrifices were a major focus of the Jewish life on earth. It seems that every day sacrifices of one kind of another were offered continuously, just over and over and over again. And throughout the year, the Israelites would offer all kinds of sacrifices. Now, mostly this involved bulls or sheep or goats, but there were also times of doves and pigeons, and then there were things like drink offerings and offerings of grain or flour or corn. We're not going to get way off into the woods this morning on Jewish sacrifices, but I did think it was a little bit interesting that there were all of these different kinds of sacrifices offered all throughout the year. But there are five major sacrifices that are offered on a regular basis. So number one, there was a burnt offering, and that was the sacrifice that you could offer to cover a national sin, or part of a prayer that was offered to God, or simply just an offering to God, the firstborn male of a herd or a flock or a dove or a pigeon. And then you get to something called the sin offering, and that's for the forgiveness of a personal sin or ritual impurity, a bull for a priest, for the entire community, and a male goat would be sacrificed by the community leader, a female goat or lamb for a commoner, or a dove or a pigeon for one of the poor people that would get offered up for him. The guilt offering, oftentimes the offered up for the personal sins that one would commit, requiring restitution. A ram would be used from the flock, or the equivalent monetary value. Then you have, like we said, the grain offering, or the meal offering, as it was more commonly known as. And it would also be a burnt offering, but it was often presented by the poor as a sin offering, a grain that was raw or baked or fried, mixed in with some oil and incense. And then you have what they called the fellowship or the peace offering, the free will sacrifice designed to celebrate God's kindness, or you could use it as an appeal to God for a closer relationship. Male or female of flocks or herds could be used, and it was this last sacrifice, this fellowship sacrifice, that was the only one of the sacrifices that which the person who offered the sacrifice was allowed to take part in its meal. Every other sacrifice that was offered up, either entirely burned up on the altar, or it was partially burned up, and the rest was given to the priests for them to eat of it. But again, the fellowship offering was the only sacrifice where the person who offered it could partake of it. And it was this fellowship meal that was so often shared with family and friends, sort of like a potluck dinner or a Thanksgiving meal that we have. But what's interesting about all these sacrifices was that each one of these offerings, it cost those who offered it something. The more wealthy were required to sacrifice part of their flock or herd, but the poor who usually didn't have a flock or a herd, so they would sacrifice maybe some grain that they had gathered or a bird that they had caught. The point is that everybody offered up sacrifices, and everybody that offered up sacrifices, it cost them something. That's part of the reason why they're called sacrifices, right? In addition, every sacrifice that had to be done, the best thing had to be offered. No sacrifice was acceptable that had a blemish or a deformity or a broken leg or wing. It had to be a perfect sacrifice. Well, I guess why? Why did God want the Israelites to sacrifice anything? It wasn't like God needed them to feed him, right? He, in a time of anger in Psalms 50, beginning in verse 12, where again, God is angry at the sin of the people. He declares to him there that if I were hungry, I would not tell you, for the world and its fullness are mine. Do I eat the flesh of bulls or drink the blood of goats? God didn't really need to eat or drink their sacrifices to satisfy his hunger. So why would God ask Israel to make these sacrifices? Well, I think one of the reasons that he asked for these sacrifices is sort of the same reason that at a restaurant that we talked to that had chained off their parking lot to the church. That store, that restaurant, wanted the church to make sure to remember that it wasn't their parking lot, right? It was his parking lot. The church didn't own it. And I think sort of that's one of the reasons why God asked the Israelites for sacrifices, to remind them that they didn't own anything. Even as a nation, they were not their own. All that they had truly belonged to God. And so Leviticus 20, verse 26, God tells the Israelites that you shall be holy to me, for I, the Lord, am holy and have separated you from the peoples that you should be mine. Right? God is saying, you belong to me. The first of the Ten Commandments drives this home. And in Exodus 20 and verse 2, he says, I am the Lord your God who brought you up out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. You shall have no other gods before me. In other words, I brought you up out of this slavery. I bought you, and now you belong to me. And really, that's the same as what God says to us as Christians today. Once you were baptized into Christ, Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, he puts it this way, that once you've been baptized into Christ, your body becomes a temple of the Holy Spirit within you, that you are not your own, for you were bought with a price. So glorify God in your body. However, as Christians, we're no longer required to offer the animal sacrifices. That's completely an Old Testament command. There's a story I read this week of a minister who received a phone call from a woman who lived in the local trailer park, and she said she had something that she needed to ask him. And when he arrived there, he sat on the couch, and they made small talk, and they joked around for a little bit. A little dog jumped up into the minister's lap, and that's when the woman got to the point. She says, does God still accept animal sacrifices? And the preacher kind of laughed, and he ruffled that little puppy's head, and he says, you mean like this little guy here? And she said, yes. Now, he had been joking, but she was serious. A little bit later, he finds out the woman's daughter has a life-threatening illness, and the woman was desperate enough to consider, I guess, offering her pet dog to ask God for healing. Now the preacher truly understood her desperation, and they began a long discussion about God, because God doesn't accept animal sacrifices anymore. When Christ died on the cross, the Old Testament sacrifices were no longer required. The writer of Hebrews tells us in Hebrews 10, beginning in verse 11, that every priest stands daily at his service, offering repeatedly the same sacrifice, which can never take away sins. But when Christ had offered for all time a single sacrifice for sins, he sat down at the right hand of God. And that's why when Christ was on the cross, he let out that phrase, it is finished, in John 19. That means the Old Testament sacrifices for sins were finished. They were no longer necessary. Christ had made the final sacrifice. But what does that mean, that we no longer need to offer sacrifices to God? Is that what that means? Well, not exactly. We just don't offer the animal sacrifices to God anymore. The New Testament talks a lot about sacrifice that God asks from us. An example of that is in Hebrews 13:16, where the writer says to do not neglect to do and to share what you have, for such sacrifices are pleasing to God. We have lots of things, and I'm not going to list them all, but things like the clothing giveaway and the food pantry and the meals we gather and hand out for Thanksgiving and Christmas. People who get involved in doing those things are offering sacrifices to God. There's that old saying that says people don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. And I think that's probably more true for us. As Christians, we should be known as a people who care. When a person is sad or lonely, we listen to them and we pray with them. When they're, again, lonely, we do our best to try and call and visit. When a person needs a ride, to try and help them out that way. That type of thing happens all the time. And when you do things like that, you are offering sacrifices to God. That's why Jesus in Matthew 5, verse 16, would say to let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. Your good deeds are sacrifices pleasing to God. Again, the Hebrews writer in Hebrews 13:15 says that through him being Christ, let us continually offer up a sacrifice of praise to God. That is the first fruit, or the fruit of the lips that acknowledge his name. I don't know all that means, but I take that to mean that every time you talk about Jesus, every time you praise God around someone else, God regards that as having a sacrifice, as having the same importance and value as those Old Testament animal sacrifices. A few years ago, the Dodgers won the World Series, but a few more years than that, back in 1988, they had done it again, and pitcher Oral Hershiser had led the Dodgers to win the World Series, and he was asked to come on the late night show with Johnny Carson as a special guest. And during the interview, Carson asked Hershiser what he did to calm his nerves between the innings, and the pitcher responded by saying that he sang songs. And so Carson asked him to sing a few of the songs or a few of the lines of one of the songs that helped him the most. And Oral Hershiser chose to sing that night that had such a deep impact on himself and Johnny Carson. Carson would then ask that song close the segment of his anniversary special. And that song was the doxology, right? Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise him, all creatures here below. Praise him above, ye heavenly hosts. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. That's the song that Oral Hershiser chose to sing on Johnny Carson, and it was a song giving praise to God. He sang a sacrifice of praise to God, and it was a song that had made a deep impact on Carson. But that's not the only sacrifice that God asks of us. In fact, without this last sacrifice, what you would do would have very little meaning. And this last sacrifice is most important. Paul would write to the church of Rome in Romans 12:1 that we should present our bodies as living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. This is about much more than just what we say or do. This is when we offer us to God, everything that we are and everything that we have to Jesus. It is being offered as a living sacrifice to God. And being a living sacrifice is when we are totally sold out for Christ. Inside of, I think, each of our wallets or billfold, to be living sacrifices means that everything inside of those things belongs to God. The bank account, the retirement account, all belong to him. The clothes, the smartphones, your house, your car, your family, to be a living sacrifice is to place everything that I am and that I have on the altar before Christ. That everything is his. If we remember that woman at the trailer park, she was more than willing to offer up her favorite dog to get God to answer her prayers. But the preacher said she never went to church and Jesus was not that important to her. Said she didn't really want to do anything for God and she had never had thought about praising his name. He just wasn't that important to her. Now, granted, she was willing to sacrifice her favorite pet to get God an answer to her prayers, but she had no intention of offering herself as a living sacrifice to God. And why should she? Why should she or why would she want to surrender her life to God? Well, she wouldn't want to until she realized how much that God loved her, that God would give his only son, that whoever would believe in him would not perish but have everlasting life. God sacrificed his only son so that she could have everlasting life. But until she could understand that, God wouldn't be all that important to her. And that, in some ways, should be our message to people so they understand why they should want to belong to Christ. But again, the same thing is true. Until we understand how much God sacrificed for us, we're not going to really be able to put that down in front of us and to wear our own lives, put our own lives on the altar of sacrifice. We won't truly be able to be called a living sacrifice. We don't sing this song, but back in 1900, a man by the name of Elisha Hoffman penned the words to the hymn called "Is Your All on the Altar of Sacrifice." And I think the words of this song tell us the reason that we should want to do that, with words that say, "You have longed for sweet peace and for faith to increase and have earnestly, fervently prayed, but you cannot have rest or be perfectly blessed until all on the altar is laid. Is your all on the altar of sacrifice laid? Your heart does the spirit control. You can only be blessed and have sweet, sweet rest as ye yield to him your body and soul." We'll close with that this morning. Maybe this morning you're here and you've made the decision to put Christ on in baptism. we are prepared for that. Maybe this morning you're here as a Christian and have hit a bump in the road, and you would like to come forward and let the congregation to publicly know what's going on and to ask for prayers. Whatever your need may be, please come as together we stand and we sing.